Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And let's move on to some other stories that we're covering for you this morning. Chrysler, of course, is the other big story, and it is in court this morning filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. As the company sorts out its fate, it hopes that a judge will allow it to carry on paying its vendors, its lawyers, and its workers' salaries. It is a last-ditch effort at reorganization as it operates on a multi-billion dollar lifeline from the government. Joining us to look at the restructuring and Chrysler's plans to link up with Fiat is Rebecca Lindland from Global Insight, a financial forecasting company, and Robert Fargo, a blogger for the truthaboutcars.com. Welcome to both of you this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, that was Farago. I meant to say Robert, correction. Let me start with you first of all, Rebecca. What will life be like under Fiat?
Well, Fiat doesn't necessarily have controlling interest in Chrysler. Chrysler is actually controlled by the union now, so in terms of majority stakeholders. So it will be, this is a joint venture to help provide Chrysler with small cars that they really need more because of federal regulations than because of consumer demand.
Robert, let me bring you in here. What was this, do you think, the only option for Chrysler?
Absolutely. They took in less money than they spent for over a decade. They were a zombie automaker before they filed, and they're still a zombie automaker now. The Fiat plan is frankly not credible for them going forward, and I don't look for them to continue much further than 120 days from now. I can't see them not.
Why do you think it's not credible? Is there nothing in the deal that makes this a viable merger?
No, there's nothing there. It takes at least 2 years to start building a new product, a new automobile. And frankly, the American taxpayer is not going to put in the money that's needed for that. Remember, we've put in $4 billion, another $8 billion is coming. It would take another $8, $10, $15 billion to achieve this plan. And frankly, I don't think the American taxpayer is going to put up with it, or even if it comes to that, because there are so many creditors, so many people trying to get a piece of this, that it just may fall apart in bankruptcy court.
Rebecca, what do you think? Do you think it's likely to go through? Is it going to be a surgical procedure? Is it going to be straightforward and simple? Or could there be complications that turn up at the bankruptcy court for Fiat and this merger?
Well, you know, I've been comparing this idea of a surgical bankruptcy to actual surgery. And when you go under the knife and under anesthesia, there's always complications. And the longer the surgery lasts, the less likely the patient's going to survive. And the same thing can be said about this bankruptcy idea. We've never in modern times had an auto manufacturer come out of bankruptcy successfully. And I know that there's all these prepackaged agreements and all these, you know, I mean, Obama needed to stay positive yesterday. He needed to make the consumer believe that this is no big deal. But we're already starting to hear that the idea that they're going to come out in 30 or 60 or even 90 days isn't realistic. And as long as bankruptcy continues, the longer it goes on, the less likely Chrysler's going to survive.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of what President Obama had to say about that.
I stand with Chrysler's employees and their families and communities. I stand with Chrysler's management, its dealers, and its suppliers. I stand with the millions of Americans who own and want to buy Chrysler cars. I don't stand with those who held out when everybody else is making sacrifices.
Robert, what do you think about what the president had to say?
Well, he's trying to lay the blame on the hedge funds. The blame for Chrysler's problems lays straight with their management and the products that they created. The president would like everyone to believe that the evil bankers are responsible for the situation, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, he was very explicit about it, wasn't he?
We had to blame somebody, and he blamed them. That's the sort of meme that's going around nowadays, is that Detroit's problems are not Detroit's problems, but the problems of either the economy or the evil bankers who seek to recover money that they don't deserve, or that not make sacrifices that they should.
Rebecca, do you see it that way? Are these evil hedge fund guys, are they to blame? Did they want more than they were prepared to put out? They wanted to take a lot more back?
No, I think that what the quote-unquote evil hedge fund people really wanted was just the their legal entitlement, which was that they were going to be in first position in terms of recouping any losses should this deal go bad. And the other issue that they had, particularly the three hedge funds that held out, was that they had issues with the amount of equity that the UAW was receiving in the Chrysler Corporation. So they basically feel like, you know what, we're going to go ahead and go into bankruptcy court. We're going to go before a bankruptcy judge and let him decide instead of being pushed from a political standpoint into agreeing to basically 33 cents on the dollar.
Okay, Robert, very briefly, how hard do you think it's going to be to change American buying habits over the long term?
You mean change them towards buying a Chrysler stroke Fiat product?
Absolutely.
I think it's impossible. It's a damaged brand. I don't think it would take 10. It took Cadillac 10 years to come back from where it was. It would take at least that long for Chrysler to come back. I don't think they can do it. They don't have the culture, the technology. They've now that they've taken all this bankruptcy money, there's a lot of people, all the subsidy. There are a lot of people who won't buy Chrysler for that reason. They're not great cars either. I don't think they can possibly come back. This is a huge waste of money.
Okay, Robert Farago, a blogger with truthaboutcars.com, and Rebecca Lindlin from Global Insight. Thank you very much for joining us. And let's get you caught up with the rest of the day's news. And Femi OK is here. Hello.
Hi there, Dalgit. 29 minutes past the hour is the time.